Content warning, y'all. We have lots of fun making this podcast, but remember, we watch a lot of R-rated films, use language that reflects that, and joke about heavy topics to create levity around these themes. If that doesn't feel safe or could be triggering, please take care of yourself. We want you to have fun listening too. This also means we might not be suitable for children. Oh yeah, and we spoil the end of all the movies we pod about. Thanks for listening.
Well, hi.
In the early aughts, you know, I don't know. What is the what technically is early aughts? Are we still in the early aughts?
No.
No.
Because now we're in the 20s.
Well, so the tens would be so early aughts is just the zeros?
Zero through niner.
Okay. Early aughts. Okay, I just want to make sure that's what I thought, but I was like, wait, is it just?
That's been my presumption.
Okay, so there was a show called like Cat House.
Oh, okay.
It was like an HBO show that basically followed around the happenings of a brothel in. Nevada.
Okay.
I think it's Peoria or no, it's not Peoria. It's, Pahrump or something like that.
Oh, that's where the chicken ranch was.
Yeah. Pahrump. That's where it's legal. Cause it's not legal everywhere. People are mistaken.
Correct.
Prostitution is not legal everywhere in Nevada. It is not legal within, Clark County, which is where Vegas is located. You have to go to Pahrump
Nye County.
Yeah. It was around there. And I used to watch that and I loved it and it was funny.
Okay.
It literally, when I was watching Chicken Ranch last night, I was like, this literally feels like that show was trying to do a remake. It was like exactly the same. It's like the girls stand up front, a guy picks them, they walk them down this long hallway, they have like a jacuzzi, they have all the stuff,
apparently in 2008 Sundance Channel did a 6-part series.
I saw that. I was trying to because I couldn't remember the name of the show I was thinking of, so I was looking up things that were really, I wasn't sure if it was actually about the chicken ranch. The one that I watched was about the Bunny Ranch, is what it was called, which is obviously a ripoff. But yeah, I saw that there was
It's also like a nice nod to the Playboy Mansion, I guess. Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just saying I discovered that there was. I was like, is this what it was? I was like, this doesn't look familiar. And then I Googled it, and I was like, ah, yes. It was called Cat House. But yeah, I loved that show because... And was it Mandy from Cat... Nope, from Chicken Ranch? She the one that got fired in the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a... Yeah, she reminded me. There was, a, thicker... big titty blonde that in the Cat House show that I thought was really hot.
So anyway, we're here today to talk about a couple documentaries that related to two of these films. We've already been talking about the Chicken Ranch and related things. Because of Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Tejas. And then I also watched 9 to 5, The Story of a Movement, I think it's called, which is a documentary available on Netflix. which is about the organizers who started a movement called 9 to 5 that was somewhat the inspiration for the film 9 to 5.
Interesting. Yeah.
Jane Fonda presumably learned about the 9 to 5 organization and said, I should make a movie.
Nice.
I don't know how much more it's, I mean, clearly it's, I mean, they address some things that are in the film that are clearly came from the organization meeting with, I don't know if they met with Jane Fonda. I mean, I know Jane Fonda met with some of them, but when it came time for the, like, you know, they sent people, Hollywood people, to talk to them to get whatever.
Yeah.
So the thing about the fantasy section of that film came out of that meeting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you were telling me, like, it was the real one was like, the real fantasy ones were a lot worse.
Yeah, in the doc, Jane Fonda says that one of the fantasies someone detailed was like actually just grinding up the boss and making coffee from that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You love to see it.
Anyway, the Chicken Ranch documentary.
I didn't watch the 9 to 5 one mainly because Keith
didn't invite
me to watch it and just started watching it and I got a little bit butthurt about that.
Yeah,
but you asked if I wanted to rewatch it with you, and I said no.
Right.
Only because I feel like with everything going on this week, I couldn't do it.
I mean, it's definitely an interesting story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The documentary, as far as style went, felt very boilerplate of like any documentary you'd see produced in the last 10 years.
Boilerplate? What's that mean?
Standard.
Oh, okay, okay.
The Chicken Ranch documentary that we watched last night was hard to come by. I ended up finding a copy on DVD, but it came from the UK.
Yeah.
Because it's it was made by a British documentarian, Nick Bloomfield.
Yeah, and the only trivia on that was that this was the only film that he didn't like actively appear in.
Oh, really?
Even though he is seen in like a mirror in one scene or something like that, but he didn't like this was like the only film of his, or like, yeah, this was like that he didn't like be in.
So yeah, and the beginning of it, there's like one line about connecting the Nevada Chicken Ranch. So I'll give my backstory. The reason I knew this existed was because I somehow saw it when I was maybe 15 or something.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you'd actually seen it before.
Yes. That's how I knew it existed. And, you know, I'm sure I know my brother was there, and I'm very tempted to even ask him about it. I doubt he remembers it, but like, like, I wonder how the fuck he got a hold of it.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, I watched it at some point. I probably shouldn't have, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's really not any nudity or any sort of like, but they do. The like trigger warning for talk of like, they're all like,
oh,
I got a scar here from my boyfriend. Like, yes. I got like, this guy beat me up. This guy did this. This guy did that. This guy, like, just going off on all the abuse that they suffered, which is unfortunate. And then, there's one, like, everything is like really interesting, and there's only one like scene in line that makes me like really uneasy about all of it, where like they're dealing with a guy that doesn't want to have to pay, like he wants to like get something for really cheap, and they're like, yeah, no one here is interested in like, you know, Like, he wants to, like, a blowjob for $20, and they're like, yeah, we don't do that. Like, we're not going to do. And he's like, I just want head. I just want head. And they're like, yeah, no. And
he keeps being like, I'll get it cheaper somewhere
yeah,
else.
And he, yeah, fine, he keeps harassing them pretty much. And they're like, why are you? He's like, I don't understand why you won't just do it for me. I'm white. And they're like, what does that have to do with anything? You know, like, and you're like, oh, this is great. And then one of the girls was like, we don't even let N words in here.
Yeah.
And I was like, and they don't show who says it, but I think I know who said it, but they don't show who is saying it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but like none of them like are like, whoa, you shouldn't have said, like no one reacts to that. They're just like, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And like no one counters it. No one says it's not true. Like nothing like that. They're just, so I was like, wow, that's really awful and horrible and in many, many ways.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So that was like the only part, like it kind of crushed me because I was like, oh, I don't really feel like I can recommend this because it's like, oh, this is a brothel with a lot of apparent racism.
Yeah.
Like, and they're like, especially for the fact that they're like, we pride ourselves on, you know, like we don't let people drink here. We don't let people like, you know, we don't want people to like, you know, I felt like that's a really responsible thing where they like don't provide drinks in the sense of like, they don't get people drunk.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, they don't want people to be inebriated when they're coming there to hang out with the girl. And I'm like, that's so smart. And that's such a good idea. I mean, obviously, if someone's like had a drink or something, they're not going to deny them. But like, they're not like, they don't have a bar there, nothing like that.
Right.
So, like, they're really careful about like how much they drink and all that shit like that. And so, and like the behavior, you know. And I was like, that's really smart, you know. So I was like, oh, that's good that they're like, you know, careful, and you know, they make sure that, you know, like she was talking, like one guy said something and she was like, all our girls, he was like, I think it was the same asshole. He was like, I could go on the strip, and she was like,
yeah.
He was like, pay $20. She's like, yeah, and you'll get what you pay for. She's like,
she's
like,
something.
Yeah, she's like, all our girls go to doctors and they're checked and they're, which you know, and I think that's like a really, that's like an important thing with doing sex work is like, you have to get checked. You have to have your status checked.
Well,
you have
I think
to.
It's part of the legal requirements.
Yeah, right.
In Nevada.
Yes, I'm sure it is because also, it's the same thing with porn. Like, you have to have, like, but, like, it's not even, like, I think you have to, it's something, like, with, you have, like, a license that you get or something like that, or I'm not exactly sure. I'm only saying what I think is the case. I know in, like, L.A. or something, where a lot of, like, porn industries are, to do that, you have to, like, have, like, every 3 months, you have to have your status basically checked.
Okay.
And,
Jesus.
And you have to, and like, if you get a negative thing, it's not up to you. Everyone is notified that you have that.
Positive?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're like, I mean, like, if you're either way, I think, you know, like you're all clear or you're not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, everyone is going, like, your status changes from like can work to can't work.
Sure.
And like,
right.
That's it. Like, no one gets, like a positive and then it's like is able to hide it like that that does not happen
right.
Like, you know, so that I mean it makes sense that that would be the case, you know, the legalities, but I just mean like it's smart for them to take like they're taking care of, I mean, you know, taking care of, you know what I mean, they're
right.
They're doing their best to do something within, you know, the bounds of, you know, also this was like 1982 or something, so their behavior to women is pretty terrible. I kind of loved the scene where they're just going through how much they hate having sex with men.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it because it's like, it really is like, you know, because like, men do think like, you're paying someone that they can like change your world. And it's like, oh my God, you should just let that, like, it's so wild to me that I would never, when I was younger and I was queer, I honestly was like planning on going to the Bunny Ranch. Cause I was like,
oh, yeah.
Obviously no girl is ever going to want to hook up with me. Mm. So I'm going to have to figure out, you know, so yeah, I was like, I would love to do that. And I was like, you know, but it was never like, so I can rock their world. You know what I mean? Like, never would I think, like, if I ever went to, like, a sex worker, which why wouldn't I, you know, I would never, I would be like, yeah, you know what you're doing better than me. You know yeah, what right. I mean? Like, I don't understand why you would go to, like, I mean, obviously, if you have, like, certain things you're looking for, that's one thing.
Sure.
You know, but, like, even so, you would go to someone that offered that specialty. You wouldn't just be like, cute.
It turns out there's a lot of misconceptions.
Yeah.
And, just...
Oh, misogyny.
Confused perspectives about
yeah.
sex and sexuality. And
yeah.
On top of that, add all the stuff around sex work.
I loved that they said that their favorite customers were old men.
Right. Because they're usually so gentle. And
they're gentle and they're...
They can't
they're
do a thank- lot.
They're, and they're always like, thank you so much.
I know, yeah. How about when the owner dude,
oh my
who's
god,
a piece of shit every time
oh,
he's on
yeah,
camera.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my
go
god,
go figure. When he was talking to who's he talking to?
Connie.
He was,
the
no,
curly
no,
hair?
It's not when he's talking to Connie. It's when he's talking to somebody else, and he's talking about like, you know, these guys they come back from war.
He's talking to the French fucking.
Is that who it is? Yeah. French.
Oh my god. That the shit. All he said.
Promulgate.
Promulgate. Promulgate. Oh my god. Also, it's like it. Did he mean propagate?
No, he meant promulgate.
Promulgate.
Yeah, he means the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Oh.
I'm like, why? What are the journalist was just like.
Mm-hmm.
God. They were. This is my favorite thing about these kinds of. Like shows like the same thing, like watching how the girls interact with each other was my favorite
oh, yeah,
part.
Of course.
I loved it so much. And I don't mean like sexually. I mean like literally like the scene where like I loved JJ. I loved JJ and
oh,
I was
yeah.
kind of sad when she left. But the part where they were like, how long have you been doing this? And she said 4 months. And they were like, how long have you been, you know, doing like sex work? And she was like, 4 months. She's like, just as long as I've been at the ranch. And I was like,
yeah. And she's like, I got to get out of the business.
Yeah. She's like, I can't do this anymore.
It's turning me hard.
I know. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Well, and I guess at least at the time, it was like, you work for 3 weeks, you're on for 3 weeks, and you just live in the house, and then you get a week off.
Oh, yeah.
So 4 months.
Yeah.
She's been there 12 weeks already.
No. Oh, yeah. No. Oh.
Working. Solid,
yeah. Sorry.
Solid
no, I don't know why I was like, that math doesn't because 3 plus 3. Oh, never mind. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. Like, but that's the thing. They're like the scene where they're like, some guy show up at like 9:45 in the morning. She's like, it's 9:45.
Yeah. And to wake him up.
And they're, and she,
they come out in their back. I love how nobody's like.
No one's faking it, which is, I mean, like some of them do, but like, oh, the one where they have like the Japanese, like.
That's like the first Johns we see, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. She's like, hurry up. They're like not picking any girls and they're like not saying anything. And fucking Fran is getting so pissed about it.
Fran is the madam.
Yeah. She's so fucking livid about it. And she's like, this is terrible. And I understand what she's saying. She was like, this is what she meant. She kept saying, it's uncomfortable for them to stand in this position. But I think what she was trying to say was like it's
on display in front yes, of like everybody.
It's,
yeah.
It's uncomfortable for them to
not be picked.
Yeah, to not
I mean,
be
that's
picked.
That's a horrible scenario anyway. Yes, like what correct. A horrible way to
I know.
I mean, I don't you know, whatever. I have no idea
how else you would I do imagine it, I imagine it's like six in one hand, bag of dicks in the other. Like cuz you either don't get picked and then you have to have a conversation with that one dude who's a fucking monster.
Walter
Millen. And then you either have to have a conversation with him if you don't get picked enough, or you have to get picked and then deal with people that like don't want to pay you shit and just want you to like give them a rim job for like 10 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what the fuck? Also, like never in a million years would I go to like an establishment
mm-hmm.
and be like, what's the least amount of money I can pay you and get something? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like, well,
this is why you're never going to pass.
Like, I...
Sorry. Hate to bring it to you.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, like, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like...
Dude's going in there and haggling. I'm like,
Here's the thing. If I'm going to Vegas, if I'm like, I want to spend some money and I want to, like, you go to those tables and you, like, you gamble and you go and you... You go to the, you know, like the most expensive casino and you book a week and you hang out and you buy drinks and you, you know, do all these things. And then you go to the like, you go to the fucking chicken ranch and you're like, I have 25 cents.
What did that give me?
You know? And you go to the bunny ranch and you're just like, what can I get for the cheapest price? Like, wouldn't you want to like flaunt your money and get anything, everything that you could get? Like, why would I be like, what's the least amount of money? Like, it's truly so baffling to me. I would literally be like, only if I had it, obviously. Like, I, you know, if I was going there, I'd be like, I have like $3,000. Can I stay the night?
Yeah, right.
You know, like, you know, like I, like, what the fuck? It's insane. Oh God. My favorite part of Vegas is, hold on, let's see if I can. Oh, it's so hard to hang on.
Oh yeah, every street corner, every crosswalk. Fucking glossy ass.
Oh my God, and
that's what's killing the planet.
This is what I'm gonna tell you, a story. I was internet friends with someone named Veronica Zamanova. I think that's how you say her last name.
Okay.
I have no idea if it was really her or not. She was like a glamour model or whatever and did a lot of like photo shoots for like,
Glamour magazine?
No. Like glamour model. She was like that's what she called it. That's what she referred to it as. Basically saying she did like porn pictures, but without actually porn. She was like, I pose, but I don't do anything.
Mm.
So like she would like pose with like, you know, a sex toy or like she was doing, you know, spread, do stuff. She would do photo shoots, but she wasn't actually making like penetrative content. Like, uh-huh. She wasn't filming anything. She was just doing photos. And I have no idea if it was really her or not. It's not really, but like her photos were on half of those like glossy little things, you know, which I was like, you could think that wasn't believable, but they're just like pulling, you know, like it's just like the photos, like they're like, call this number to, you know, talk to this girl. And I was like, it was so baffling to me because like you have escort services that are like legal.
Okay.
Because an escort service, you're paying for a date.
Okay.
Not
sex.
I mean, I think that that's like a thing. Like escort services are legal because you're not paying for sex. You're paying for a date and maybe you'll have sex. Like, like, what? How's that getting around? So, like, you're calling these numbers to get an escort. And they're standing on the corner of the strip, like, fucking tapping the shit out of these, like, oh, my God. And my favorite part was these streets were lined with just discarded, like, little things. And, like, I took a picture one time because it was literally, like, you know what, like, it looks like when you have, like, leaves all over, like, in the gutter?
Yeah.
It was like that, but it was the photo. It was, oh, my God. I was like, this is insane. This is literally, this is insane. And so I miss that so much about me.
Yeah, I bet.
But, see, they wouldn't hand them to women. They would tap it when they weren't handing it to someone. So they would just do like this. And then if you walked by and you were a woman, they would just tap. So you would just hear.
Yeah.
The whole time you're walking by the line of people trying to hand you the same fucking car. Right. Horrible. Oh, my God. Horrible. Anyway, then you watched the 9 to 5.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I had no idea about this movement.
I actually didn't know that it had anything to do with anything in real life other than, you know, like women in the workplace.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the group that called itself 9 to 5 started with some workers at Harvard. I don't think they were business students, but.
Sorry, I just remembered when we recorded the podcast episode, you said this, that Harvard, and I started laughing, and I said, Pac-a-cod,
ha-ha. Yeah, that's true.
So that made me laugh.
But it was specifically like clerical, secretarial work from the get-go, and then, you know, it just grew from Harvard to the larger Boston area, and then from there to, you know, the chapters started popping up. They had, like, a newsletter and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that got distributed, and so other chapters started popping up, and then... Yeah.
No, yeah, that's... It's wild to think...
Eventually, they trade the... There was... Towards the end of the documentary, is them talking about, like, trying to basically join a union, and what a... hassle that was, and shocker, the amount of sexism they encountered at first.
What? Sexism in the workplace?
And then, you know, like once they were, did have a union, once they had a local or whatever, then like when they would try to talk to people, how they'd be like, oh, unions are corrupt, you know, I don't want to be a part of unions.
Oh my God.
So... you know, I don't know. So I think it's, I think there's like one chapter that still exists of the union version of it.
That's surprising that any of them still exists.
Which, I think it's Seattle.
Okay.
But I love too that their local number is 925. Pretty clever. Anyway, I recommend it as a doc. It's very easy to watch. And I loved watching the, you know. The people who are the founders and people who joined along the way.
It's wild to think, though, that was, like, something. I mean, like, I understand, and I don't mean it in the sense of, like, it's crazy to think of, like, how much we've progressed. I'm not trying to say. But it's insane to think that, like, something like that needed to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the complaints, like, the shit that is depicted in the film.
Yeah.
Are real problem, real issues that were happening. I mean, as far as the, like... Like the shit that Lily Tomlin's character is, like where she's been there 15 years or something and some dude just passed
that's still,
up.
That's still a fucking thing.
Exactly. Like, that shit still happens, but like, you know, there was no legal protection. Like,
right.
There was nothing illegal at all about it at the time.
Right. Ugh.
And you could easily fire. I mean, again, this still happens, but like, it was nobody had qualms about firing you if you got pregnant, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Because there were no protections.
Yeah.
One of the things they talk about, too, is the ERA and how that died multiple deaths.
What's that?
Equal Rights Amendment.
Oh. Amendment?
Mm-hmm. It was going to be an amendment to the Constitution.
Okay.
Granting equal rights regardless of gender.
We don't need that.
No. I mean, and at first, I think saw the light of day as a proposal in the late 70s.
Okay, so the history of the ERA is even lengthier and more storied than I realized. It can be traced back to as early as the 1920s with Seneca Falls and such. But it didn't gain enough traction until the 1970s to actually make it to be voted upon by both houses of the Congress. But at one point was passed and left to die without getting ratified. So, and many other ups and downs along the ways. I recommend checking it out. It's still a subject of some debate and controversy as far as its implications. I'll link to the Wikipedia article.
But it's one of those things where literally, this is where, you know, like now you see it sarcastically, but mm-hmm. it's like feminism turns your women, you know, like makes women, you know, like kill babies and hate men and leave their jobs or whatever it is.
Thing, that fucking picture of, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's like a woman and she like has a gun or something. It's like a cartoon or like a comic or whatever. And she like either like shoots a man, she's like shooting a man in the head or she like tells him to kill himself. I don't remember. And it's like, this is feminism.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
No, but really it's sadly, you know, that's what happened to a lot of the momentum of that kind of organizing, yeah. especially about feminism and women's rights of the, you know, the quote, women's lib.
Right.
Which I've never heard anyone who was a part of it call it that. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
It's Dabney Coleman in 9 to 5, and it was my mom growing up, so. But like... it was totally the rise of like the moral majority and Reaganism and all uh-huh. that shit that yeah. happened in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Really quashed a lot of
yeah.
the Ugh. Momentum from the 60s and 70s.
I mean, I'm just glad that we've gotten past all that. Now there's no like now we have Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, Roe is and codified now, right. for eternity.
You know, gender equality, trans people are
LGBTQI people are...
Yep. Yeah.
Are canonized, lionized.
Yeah, we're yeah, it's great.
Given a
great.
Personal...
It's great,
a
yeah.
personal force field. it's impossible to attack anybody.
Yeah. I mean, like, we have legal protections. I have legal protections.
Speaking of Boston and hate crimes, just earlier this week, I saw there was, like, a package, a parcel bomb that exploded, like, nice. At a... It was sent to a, like, women and gender study building.
It's insane to me. The, like, I understand in the sense of, like, hate and, like, and bigotry and things like that causing these things. I'm not like ignorant to the fact that like other people believe different things, but like it is bonkers to me. And also I understand that like because we've had like some victories, like there's going to be like a backlash towards that. So I understand like, you know, what do you call it? Not scientifically, but like
intellectually.
Yeah, I understand that, like, these things are, it's a cycle that, mm-hmm. that can happen. Like, I'm not saying I literally have no comprehension right. of this. I'm just saying I don't know why people behave this way. Like, how someone's like, oh, you want to give transgenders the right to not be murdered? You know what I'm going to do? Murder them harder. It's like, what the fucking shit? And the fact that, like, and I mean, a lot of it... And by a lot of it, I mean it is white supremacy.
Yes.
Whiteness in particular, you know, patriarchy. It's all of these things that are combined and like symbiotically thrive
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
through each other. But like it's such a wild... And Christianity, you know, feeds mm-hmm. into that.
Helps a lot.
And it's so wild to me that, like, I mean, I know this is a fact because I grew up around this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, Christians believe that they are the minority. And they believe that anyone else having equal rights or anyone else having any sort of legal protections.
Yeah, is a threat to their existence.
Is a threat to their Christianity and is a sign. It's not just a threat. It is a sign of like Satan actively coming after you. So you will have to like, so it's like responding in like violence.
Mm-hmm. Totally justified.
Right. And to me, like, that sort of thought has always been, like, so terrifying.
Yeah.
Of, like, you want to respond to something you don't understand with violence.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds godly to me. What the fuck?
Well, I mean, it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
A lot like God.
It's a lot like the Lord. But yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
But it's just, it's weird that like, you know, it's it, like, it's the thing that you talk about where you're like, you know, like Three's Company, you know.
My favorite.
All of these things. You know, there are ways that we talk about it differently. But the fact, I mean, even like the fucking, I was saying this to you the other day, the Little Mermaid being black, like, yeah, it's great. I have no, I don't really, you know, I'm not.
Imagine giving a fucking shit.
But that's the thing. I'm like, it took us till, that movie's coming out next year. So it took us till 2023.
Right.
To give kids a Little Mermaid that wasn't white. And that, yeah, that people give a shit. Someone, I saw this thing. Someone has like deep faked it to be a white ginger. So that, and they'll like happily do, like, they're like, yeah, we plan to do the whole movie when it comes out.
Great.
What the fucking shit? What? Imagine caring that much.
My favorite part is the folks who are like mad at Disney and Disneyland or World for their woke politics.
Oh my God, I know. I mean, Disney did go after that guy and shut down his entire Twitter account because he was posting images from it on Twitter and they were like, nope, you're...
Images from what?
From his deepfaked Little Mermaid.
Oh.
Because he took the clips from the YouTube and he altered them. And so they shut down his Twitter account. Which is like, you know, the only time it's acceptable for...
Well, I'm sure that won't feed his persecution complex.
No. Not even remotely. But like... Yeah, like, right. Like, people are like, oh, Disney's so woke. And like, meanwhile, Disney's like, I'm pretty sure we're pro... banning abortion, right? You know, like, they don't, we don't like trans people. We'll hire them. I'll fire them. Like, I don't fucking know. Like, they don't give a shit. It's so weird.
I know. I remember
Disney doesn't care about you.
A famous comedian who has since been canceled, so no one has heard of him since. But I like this joke where he was like, if you're curious if Christianity won in the Western world, tell me what year it is. Why is it the year 2024? Oh, because it's that long since Jesus was born, presumably.
I know. Right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad that he'll never work again, but...
I wish I knew who you were talking about.
Me too. I wish you did.
Meta.
Think about... It's hard to decipher. Like, any... If you can imagine any... I watch so many comedians that have since been canceled.
Yeah, you've watched all the comedians that have been canceled.
Yeah.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, did he get canceled?
Tim Allen. I don't know. I just assume. Tim Allen
he does host
he's not gay.
Bible quiz now or whatever.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's why I assume he's gotten canceled because he does Christian things.
Andrew Dice Clay. Sam Kinison.
I told you about how my sister's husband, who I refuse to use the colloquial term for what that is.
Cunt?
No, when your sister is married, you usually refer to them as a brother-in-law.
Bitch.
I will not refer to him as that. He is my sister's husband. I will not call him anything else.
I think they have to legally adopt you before they're a brother-in-law.
So he was telling me that he was like showing me the comedy of Andrew Dice Clay, which I had seen before because I was only
we're alive
years
in the
younger
late
80s.
Him.
Yeah.
Early 90s.
And it was probably like 99, 2000 that he's showing me Andrew Dice Clay and he's like, this guy is the funniest comedian ever. Like, he is hilarious and he's showing me this stuff and I'm literally looking at him like, I hope you die. I was just like, he was like, isn't he hilarious? And I was like, no. No. He's like, it's so good. And I'm like, meanwhile, my other sister was sleeping with him and I'm just like, why are you sleeping with him?
Just to,
I mean, they weren't together. My sister hadn't married him yet. My sister was in a relationship.
Okay, so the one sister married him just to piss off the sister
who had already slept
with him.
Well, sort of. So my sister hooked up with him for a little while. He was like, oh, I'm so madly in love with you. And she was like, bleh, barf. So she broke up with him. He was obsessed with her. And my other sister and him were like, would talk shit about my sister. The first sister, and be like, oh, she's so selfish, she's such a bitch, whatever. And then they started sleeping together, and so they were in a relationship together. Meanwhile, he was like, you know, like they're sleeping together, and he's like still talking shit on the, you know, like still obviously obsessed with the first sister. And
so it's like Lana and Figgis.
And then he and my other sister broke up, and then he married the first sister. And, yeah. And now, and they've been together, like, probably, like, close to 20 years.
It's romantic.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Palace intrigue.
He used to call my, like, he had a kid with her. She had a kid from a previous relationship. They had a kid together. And when that kid would go shopping with my sister, I remember I was like visiting. And this kid was like a terror. He was like literally a terror. He would like punch my sister in the face kind of shit. And like spit on her and call her a bitch. And it was like awful. And she would just, oh, it was terrible. So he went to the store with us. He behaved. And she, when her husband got home, she was like, he was so good today. He behaved all day at the store. And he was like, oh, you like shopping with your mommy? Are you a little faggot? You like going shopping with your mommy? And I was like, ah, that's great. Weird that he's an asshole half the time. Huh, that's interesting. Yeah, right, yeah.
It's weird, like, that they act out.
I know, right? I'm like, ha, that's crazy that he... And they also got in trouble with CPS because they did the thing where they were like, pick a stick to get spanked with. And then they hauled off and hit that kid as hard as he could. And that child's leg split open. He has the giantest scar on the back. It's horrifying. And they were like, it was an accident. We didn't mean for that. That was never our intention. And I'm like, okay, but you literally beat the kid with a stick. So they were like, yeah, you can't spank your kids. You're not allowed to spank your kids. So they're like, we need alternative punishments. So their idea, people are like, why don't you talk to your siblings? Let me tell you. So their alternative for spanking was to have them, you know, like those big, thick, you know, like the thick round candle that I have like in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
They had the kids hold their arms out and hold the candles. And they were like, you have to hold them for 10 minutes.
That's
like,
full on just SM.
Right. And they're like 10 minutes. They're like, of course we want to make them actually hold it for 10 minutes. They're like, but they couldn't even do it for like a full minute. And they'd be like crying. And she was like laughing, telling me about it. And I was like, what the fuck? And so when the CPS person came and was like, okay, you know, and they were like, yeah, we do this. They're like, no, absolutely not. She's like, I don't understand. She's like, we're building their strength by doing this. And she's like, no, you will absolutely not have your children hold candles out in the air. Like, and it wasn't like they weren't like it would be one thing. I mean, I'm not saying that it's like chill, but if they were just like the little tiny, like, you know, like those
tapers.
Kinds of, yeah, like, and like hold the candle out like for 30 seconds. I'd be like, okay, whatever. Like, that's
also
weird.
Just to clarify for the listener, I'm assuming they weren't lit.
I don't think so. I don't know. It was never specified to me.
That's fair.
And it's just,
oh,
like,
my God.
I know.
The next time they come back, they're like, well, we just locked them in the closet. We're not hitting them.
We hung them upside down until they passed out.
What's the matter?
I know. It was always like,
what do you want from us?
It was like, how are we supposed to punish them? And it's like, well, I mean, you're not supposed to go to punishment as like the only reaction to anything that they do. Like, I don't know.
Right to jail.
Right? Like, I would, this is how I, like, one time my nephew, sorry, I know I'm talking about this. This will be it. My nephew was getting on my nerves. Like, he kept being like shitty. And I said, I don't actually want to hear this. You can go in the other room. And he was like, I'm not going to go in the other room. And I was like, then I'll go in the other room. I literally don't want to be around you while you're acting like this. And he was like, oh my God. Because he'd never been told like that he was acting like shitty, and that it made someone not want to be around him because of how he was acting. And he like stopped doing it because he didn't want to not be in the same room as me. Like, he was like, oh. And I'm like, you don't have to like haul off and hit your kid. You can be like, hey, I need some time away from this, whatever this is. Like, it's chill.
Well,
if you want to act this way, I don't want to be around you. I'm just going to walk out. Like,
clearly his parents were art fine adults, and you know, if they were hit as kids, they turned out fine.
Yeah. So would you recommend either documentary?
Both. Again,
trigger warning for the Chicken Ranch.
Yeah, yeah.
For many, many, many reasons.
Several reasons, yeah. Yes.
It's like definitely
one of which is that it's from 1983,
yes.
And
yeah,
I was a little shocked by the quality.
Oh wow!
Of the
yeah.
film and audio,
yeah,
not great.
But also, I mean,
it's not unwatchable by any means.
No.
I was just, I'm like, wow.
I thought it added to it for me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The amount that they smoke. I don't even know if there's... I was going to say, well, I don't know if that's true. Yeah.
I like the scene when they're like, what's in your mouth? And she's got a cigarette in her mouth and she takes a cigarette out.
No,
out
she.
Of her mouth.
I thought it was a mint. I thought it was a mint because she's sucking on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She has cigarette in her mouth and she's sucking on something.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Oh. I'm sorry. I thought
it was funny because
yeah.
Fran is like, what's in your mouth? And because I didn't, I'm just like, oh, there's a cigarette hanging out.
Right.
Mouth.
Yeah.
So she takes the cigarette out and holds her tongue out or whatever. And she's got like a lozenge or a candy or something. Yeah. It was funny.
The fuck. Yeah. But like there is not a, I don't think
how much we see them smoking or sneaking doobies.
Yeah. That's really funny. I don't think there's a single scene where someone isn't smoking a cigarette.
Probably not.
Like not even like a, I don't even know if there's a frame is what I'm saying. Like truly.
Probably.
There is so much smoking. Like everyone is smoking.
That's what my childhood was like.
Oh my God. Terrifying.
I love how in the parlor, there's this huge wraparound lounge, like couch or whatever. It's all... Everything, every pillow is covered in plastic. I'm like, that must have been custom made.
Oh, absolutely.
And everything. And
yeah.
Like,
I imagine everything there was custom.
Okay, so I also want to say that, like, in my mind, because I saw this, I don't know if I saw Best Little Whorehouse. Probably not. I probably wasn't allowed to watch that. But I think that might have been why my brother found this and wanted to watch it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So they're both called the Chicken Ranch. There's a little thing at the beginning of the documentary where you hear a voiceover of someone saying, oh, you know, we started in Texas and we moved out here and some New York City slickers made a musical about it. Mm-hmm. There's no lineage connecting the two that I can find. The dude who owns, it's the guy in the movie, the dude who owned it, who started the Nevada Chicken Ranch, was running brothels before the one in Texas shut down, or was shut down.
Interesting.
Also, one of his early places was burned down, presumably by arson. He dealt with a similar kind of...
Right, yeah. Well, I wonder if the girls, some of the girls from there went there, and that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, maybe.
Interesting.
Maybe Fran. I mean, yeah. Anyway, he sold it in 1982. So not like right after when the documentary was set.
Weird after.
Yeah, I wonder if that's how they were able to release it.
Right.
Because one of towards the end of the documentary, you see a couple scenes when it's because Manny is fired and they're recording it. And Walter keeps coming in and being like, you got to stop shooting. None of this is going to be in the movie. If you put it in the movie,
I'm going to sue you.
I want you to give me the film itself, the physical film. Blah, blah, blah. And the last frame is like, just on him being like, well, not the last frame. They do have a little coda, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Fascinating. He's like, he keeps telling them, like, you're not allowed to film Mandy. You're not allowed to film anything where she's in it. Like, none of this is usable. You have to give me the reel right now. You have to destroy it. If you don't, like, if any of this gets out, I'm suing you, which I think makes him look really bad.
Sure.
And really, like, why would you care?
Yeah.
Why would you care if someone sees you fire a girl for any reason? Like, you can fire her for any reason.
That's a red flag. Even before we get Mandy's side, which is that he makes her take a client for way less than normal for what the service is being offered.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know why she got fired for that.
Because she ended up doing it, didn't she? Well, she said he made her do it.
Yeah.
And then she had, like, and I think she didn't.
Oh, she also says she quit.
Well, she said she quit before he was like, and she said, I quit.
This is a thing that's sort of not explicit. Nothing's explicit because it's a documentary and there's no voiceover from.
Correct.
So, there's a little airstrip.
Yes. Which is where the voiceover comes in. Cause it's like, it sounds like what I took it as was like the stewardess or whatever.
Right.
Or whoever is on the plane.
So the thing with Mandy at the end, he's like, you're not leaving on my plane.
Yeah. He won't let her, like, that's so awful. Like, he won't let her take his plane and shit like that. I'm like, oh my God.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
They referenced the Mustang Ranch. That's the only other brothel I think they mentioned in the documentary.
I didn't catch that.
And that was a real place, you know, obviously another real place.
Interesting.
It shut down in 1993 or something, basically forfeited to the government because of, like, tax evasion and all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, wild. Crazy. Say something funny.
28 or 29.